This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. I am so grateful to God that we can gather together on this Monday in His name and talk about things that are important to us in our lives and in our faith. So we always invite you to give us a call here. We've got a toll-free number for you, and Tom Price, well, he's just itching to answer those phones. Yes, he is. And to get you up on the board so that you and I can have a nice little chit-chat together. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. You know we love having holy conversation with you. Yes, we do. So don't delay. Call right away. Don't be shy. Give it a try. That's what I like to say on days like today. Oh, my goodness. It just doesn't stop. 833-288-EWTN. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, we invite you to use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. And Pedro Quiles, yes, Pedro's back. He is going to retrieve your question or comment and get it up on the board. And also text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. And we will also get that retrieved and put up on the board. But do know that message and data rates may apply. If you text us, it depends on your plan. What can I say? Can't control that. We can control very little, can't we? The fact of the matter is, though, we love when we have this time together. So I'm inviting you to give us a call here. Tell us about your weekend. What went on? How did God bless you? What was the highlight of your weekend? What was the highlight of your weekend? I'd like to know all about it here, and we'll all clap hands and rejoice in the Lord together. If you're a first-time caller, I want to know. There's my little welcome bell. I'll ring it for you. And the same applies if you're a first-time submitter. We'll ring it. So I'm inviting you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, because honestly, guess what's happening? This week is happening. This is our retreat week coming up this weekend. But even prior to that, we're going to be together at the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. And I am so excited about it. That is going to begin on Thursday. I'm actually leaving here on Wednesday afternoon after I spend some time with all of you. And heading up to Malvern Retreat House outside of Philadelphia, PA in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Beautiful property there. We've been going up there since, I think, 2006. I want to verify that. It's either 2005 or 2006. All of that being said, it's been just a marvelous, marvelous history at Malvern Retreat House, and Women of Grace is so happy to be part of the retreat tradition there at Malvern, and we're inviting you to join us. We've got just some wonderful things that are going to be happening this week, and I just don't want you to miss out on them. It begins with our Benedicta Enrichment Seminar that starts on Thursday and runs until mid-afternoon on Friday. We are going to be regaled, I know, on a topic that I think strikes each one of us, and it has to do with conflict, right? Consecrating conflict. That's the title. Consecrating conflict, finding hope in the struggle. Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be instructing us. He is our academic advisor for our Benedicta Institute for Women, and I have sat in on his classes. I've been a participant in his classes. And he's a marvelous teacher. And I'll tell you, this is going to be great. And it's going to be very hands-on. There's going to be activities involved in it. We try to make this a seminar that gives you skills so that when you walk away, you know, you can apply what it is that you've learned. And so I'm really, really eager for this one. It's, an offering that is in our leadership portion of our Benedicta Institute. This will count towards a certification in Catholic women's leadership if, in fact, you're involved in the program. Or if you want to take the program at some point in time, we keep a record of all of this. So do come. And I like to say, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, like if this is like for a certification, it's probably going to be way over my head, or, you know, I don't want to think that hard, you know. But I just want to tell you that we really don't want to presuppose anything. One thing I can tell you is that we have touched upon some very in-depth and deep kinds of topics with Dr. Wallenfang in some of the classes that we've had through the Benedicta Institute for Women, but he makes them absolutely digestible. He approaches them, and that's what a good teacher does, right? A good teacher is able to take the complex material and put it into a form, into a presentation of that material that is digestible to the student sitting in front of the teacher. That's the art of teaching. It's both an art and it's a gift and a talent, right? It's a skill set that is unique to certain individuals, and Dr. Wallenfang certainly has it. It is not too late to sign up, but we do have just a few seats left. So we'd love to fill them, and you might be the one to sit in it. So please do check it out at our website, womenofgrace.com. We'll be taking registrations up until everything begins. And as I say, this begins this Thursday. Now, on Friday evening, our retreat begins. And our retreat also has a beautiful theme. This is Hope for the Journey. And this is going to be a marvelous exploration of the theological virtue of hope. But practical application. How do we grow in hope? Is it something that just rains down on us from heaven and all of a sudden we have it? Or, you know, is there a way that we can cooperate with that grace of the theological virtue to increase the hope in our own heart? And how does that apply in very difficult situations that seem hopeless? Well, actually, that's exactly when you need this theological virtue. So again, we're going to be getting in depth with this. Our speakers are marvelous. Heading us off, Bishop William Walterscheid, auxiliary bishop in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. He is going to be just a marvelous, marvelous presenter for us on this whole concept of hope, but in a specific way, he's going to be taking us into it by way of Our Blessed Lady. And I'll tell you, he loves Our Lady so very, very much. Third Order Carmelite, he's going to bring a beautiful, beautiful spirituality to the talks that he gives. He will also be our celebrant for our Masses, and he will be our homilist at our Masses. So, isn't it beautiful to have a bishop that's going to be with us for this beautiful time? Kitty Cleveland is going to be with us. If any of you have ever heard Kitty sing, you know that she takes us right into the heavenlies with this beautiful voice that she's been gifted with. And in addition to that, though, she's going to be presenting on the whole concept of hope in times that are really, really difficult, in the midst of struggles and in the midst of reversals in life. She'll be presenting them from the standpoint of her own personal experience, but also through the lens of her father, who was unjustly imprisoned, eventually exonerated. Patricia Sandoval is going to be with us. This woman's got quite a story to tell, and I'll tell you what, if you want to see an icon of hope, this is the woman, and she's going to lift up that virtue in you. She certainly is, by way of her testimony and all that she's going to share with us. I'm so eager. This is her first Women of Grace event with us. I can't wait to introduce her to all of you. And again, Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be presenting at our main retreat, Hope Revealed in the Ordinary. Can't wait to hear it. And I'm going to be there, and I'll have a few words to say too. So we're inviting you to sign up. And on the Saturday, a special day for the young women, and I'll tell you about that on the other side of the break. 833-288-EWTN. Join us. We're looking forward to talking with you today.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams today, and we are so eager to hear from you. Yes, we are. We have got Tom Price on the phones today, and as I said to you at the beginning, he is just itching to answer your call. So I'm inviting you to give us a call right here at Women of Grace and EWTN, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Let's have a conversation together. connected day. I was saying to you earlier on, you know, what did you do this weekend? What was the highlight of your weekend? I'd love to hear about it. You know, the highlight of my weekend was getting ready for this retreat. And I just have to tell you about the Young Women of Grace event, and hopefully we'll get out there to the phone lines right away. But on this Saturday, we've got a special track for younger women. Yes, we do. So girls that are like middle school, high school is who this is for. It is a retreat day for them. Be virtuous, be hopeful, be happy. That is Saturday, July the 26th. It starts at 8 a.m. We're going to feed the girls, and it's going to go to 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Now, if you are going to come in from a distance, you're driving in from somewhere, you know, in the tri-state area, or if in fact you're flying in and you want to bring your daughter, then, you know, by all means do so. And she is welcome to join us for the Friday evening. Welcome to join us for the healing service on Saturday night. Any of the girls are welcome to stay for the Saturday night healing service. And then again on Sunday morning, she's welcome. So we don't want for you to be concerned or worried about that. Just get out there and check it out. We've got a beautiful day lined up for these young women. Just an absolutely beautiful day. All of the information's at our website, womenofgrace.com. So get on out there, womenofgrace.com, and check it out. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. And the phone lines are lighting up. Woohoo! Woohoo! It puts a smile on my face. We're going to go to Fran right away. She is in Omaha today, listening via Spirit Catholic Radio, and I'm totally delighted. And she has something exciting that happened this weekend. Let's find out. Hey, Fran, how are you?
I'm well, Jeanette. Thank you for taking my call. So my husband and I, we live in Omaha, Nebraska, and we, listening to the Catholic radio, I heard about the Guadalupe Radio 25th anniversary. So we end up going, and a beautiful, I mean, wonderful speakers, so forth. I'm just going to try to cut this as short as I can. And so on our way home from the flight, there is a priest on the flight, and I always enjoy talking to them or whatever, but I'm like, Lord, if you make a way, you know, for me to talk to them, if not, you know, okay. So we end up landing in Omaha, and my husband went to go get our car, and I was to get our luggage. Got our luggage, but still stayed in the area looking up for a mass for us still to attend yesterday. And it was pretty much cleared out, the baggage area. But then this priest comes to get his baggage. And I'm like, okay. So I go over there because I thought he was from Texas, and I was just going to share how we went there and, you know, just experienced it was just beautiful, the conference. And he starts talking, and I realize he's from another country. And he tells me that he's a deacon, and that, you know, hopefully soon he will become ordained, but that he was here in a town for a conference on Latin, but he was from Brazil. And this, where he was going to, is like 50 miles from us. And he asked me about an Uber. And I said, no, we'll take you.
Oh.
And he's like, what? I said, no, we'll take you. And so here we are, kind of, you know, not having much sleep ourselves and looking forward. I was looking forward to getting home and everything, but it's like, no, it was just an automatic, we will take you. And he needed to get a SIM card for his phone, and also someone had given him some money to get a phone from the United States that he could use. So my husband picked us up. We proceed to try to find a location for him to get this SIM phone. This priest spoke Spanish, so we were able to go to an area in town. God just put us there. An area of town where there was somebody who could speak Spanish, who helped him get everything that he needed. And then we drove him to, Jeanette, you've been there, Our Lady of Good Counsel.
Oh, yes,
so
of course,
that's where,
yes.
That's where he was going for this Latin, extensive Latin class for this week coming up. And as we were driving, you know, we were sharing. I mean, we just met him, like, an hour ago, and I told him some things in my life where God had, you know, through providence, how God works. And then he started laughing, and he said, "That's how God works in my life." He said, "This whole trip was providence." He said, "I received the ticket through an anonymous donor the day before." He said, "The person who took me to the airport," he had been traveling since Friday. He said, "The person who drove me to the airport, that was God's providence. And then how we met." And I said, "We will take you."
Oh, my goodness.
That was all God's providence.
Friend, that is really such a beautiful story. And first of all, you know, I just want to comment on your generosity of heart. You know, how many times do we have these opportunities to grow in grace? How many times do we have these opportunities to really be the face of God, the hands and the feet of God in some instances? And because of, you know, our own schedules or our own desires, or as you said, well, I was looking forward to getting home, we don't do it. But for you, in this instant, it was an automatic, "We'll take you." And, you know, that flows from heart that really is open to the guidance, the movement, and I have to say, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we can see even in real time some of the blessings of that, because you enjoyed being of service to him and, you know, obviously saw that God was using you. But we can only begin to imagine the heavenly graces that were acquired, you know, because of your generosity. And it reminds me of something else that's really captivated my thought process for several months now, and I've talked about it on the air, and that is being these secondary instruments of the Lord. You know, how does the Lord work? He works through these individuals who become conduits of grace in the lives of others. And you were certainly that for this dear priest. And also, too, I mean, the beneficiary of seeing that you were part of this great network that the Lord had worked out, you know, for him. You know, part of this beautiful tapestry of the moment in this man's life. And it's truly exciting. It's exciting to hear about it. And I'm excited about the whole, just the opportunity that presented itself to you. That is beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing this.
Yes, it was a beautiful experience. And it just still amazes me, right, exactly how God, right, put this in, put me there. Because I told my husband just the little things. I said, because before the priest came, I said, I was talking just to another lady, and then she left, and I'm still standing there. And I said, just even having that lady delay me is how I even looked at it, you know, to still keep me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I, yeah, it was just an amazing experience, because I just wanted to share that.
Oh, I'm so glad that you did. I mean, it's an amazing experience, you know, just in the fact that you met this beautiful priest. But what is really amazing about it is the fact that you can see, that you have those eyes, that you can see the movement of God's action in your life. And that is what wisdom is. Wisdom is seeing the world through God's eyes. It's a godly vision that sees beyond the surface level and understands the deeper reality of what's taking place. And boy, you've got that gift, Fran, and I'm just very, very happy that you shared it today. Also, too, because I think that you've inspired us. You know, you've inspired us to heed the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We just don't know the numbers of graces and the joy, you know, that comes from being used by God. So we never want to say no to those opportunities. And you give us good guidance today. Fran, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome, Janet. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
You do the same. Thank you very much. And God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't that a beautiful story, friends? I mean, really and truly, it's just totally amazing. Let's go to Christine. She is in Virginia, listening to us via Sirius XM station 130. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Jeanette.
How are you?
I have to tell you. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. And here we are again. You're talking about the retreat, and I wish I could come again. I was there a couple of years ago after I had been in hospital, after having had what they said was a stroke, but the Lord healed me. Praise be to God. I would like to open the conversation a little bit. You asked How was your weekend? What were the blessings? My last week was a blessing because I spent it with grandchildren, and especially our little two-month-old, Dahlia. But I had come there shortly, actually on the 2nd of July, I flew back from France, which is where my 89-year-old mother lives. And really, I wanted to talk about, I've really felt strongly because of things that went over in France with her, and conversations with friends that are dealing with aging parents. I don't think we talk enough about the stage of life that is before the very last, and that is when our elderly people, we'll all be there, God willing, end up having to go into a care situation that needs more help, assisted living, and I've seen so many people struggling with this, and it's like the plans are not laid out when the cognitive process is still there. And this puts a huge strain on families, not just finances. And I really want to talk about, I know that I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with this, the Little Sisters of the Poor. I've had the grace of being able to stay with them in California and see their work. But I just found out through a friend whose father-in-law is going into a home that's run by Carmelite nuns, or was established by the Carmelite nuns who saw this need. And I just feel like this is really a pro-life issue. I mean, life is about all stages of life. It's not just from in the womb, protecting people in the womb. It's really about protecting the dignity of the person all the way through life, and that means towards the end. And I really want to... I'm hoping there are some people or nuns or listening out there that grow maybe care homes for people who need them.
Well, you know, Christine, this is a beautiful topic, and you know, my parents were very elderly. They both lived into their 90s. Lost my mother in 2015 and my dad in 2018, and my dad was completely capable at his age. His health began to fail, you know, in those final years. But he was able to stay in his own home, and we were able to help him. I lived two doors away, and I was able to help him to a tremendous extent. But we also were able to bring some people into the home for those kinds of things that needed to be done by professionals, and also for when I was not available. My mom, on the other hand, did not have her cognitive ability. She had Alzheimer's, and my father really was her primary caregiver, though, again, being two doors away, I was there often, like mostly a lot, to be of service to him when I could be. So, you know, I think that you are absolutely right. Not everyone has that kind of a situation. And in some cases, as we see more and more today, you know, families are separated. You're talking about going to California or to France for your elderly mother. You know, that's in a different country. So that's at a great distance away. And we are not necessarily nearby to be able to assist them at that time. So these things need to be discussed by family members. And, you know, yes, and that's exactly what the church teaches with regard to the dignity and the value of the human person from the moment of conception until natural death. So that encompasses every stage along the way. And even if they do succumb to cognitive disability, the fact of the matter is they are still human persons, and we treat them with the dignity that they deserve as being made in the image and likeness of God. And I think that you're right. You know, there obviously are lots of facilities that are available. If we can find a facility that is within the context of you know, our parents' faith tradition, such as you're outlining, then that is all the more benefit, because then we know that the sacraments will be regularly available to them, that Mass will be readily available to them. And we also know that the care that they receive is going to come from that beautiful gift of charity, of true love, as opposed to being, you know, an occupation only, you know, or a profession only. It's going to be marked by that charism of the love of God coming through that person into the life and the experience of the one who is in a state of decline. So I thank you for bringing this to the attention of all of us today. And it's a reminder for all of us. I mean, we're all on a pilgrim journey here. Some of us are older than others, but we should have something in writing that instructs our family members on what our wishes are, and it should be discussed openly. You know, it shouldn't be something, it shouldn't be a topic that is feared. Oftentimes people don't like to talk about these things. You know, they have a superstitious attitude towards it. Well, you know, superstition is a sin. We should talk about this. It's an act of charity to have plans in place for your loved ones. So thank you, Christine. I appreciate your call today, and I appreciate your admonition to all of us, you know, and your exhortation to be about the business of taking care of those kinds of things that can be quite difficult to face. Thank you. Appreciate you. All righty, let's go to Eileen. We are down to 2 minutes. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hold on you, Eileen, and we're going to come to you when we come back from the break. So just stay there. And Ruth, you stay there as well. And friends, we want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. We've got Tom Price answering the phones today, and you've kept him busy in the first half of the show, and I'm very grateful for that. So please keep him busy in the second half of the show too. Pedro Quiles out there picking up all of your comments and questions for us that you leave at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We will retrieve those and get them up on the board, and we will address them. And we also invite you to text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today. And you have been keeping Tom Price busy in the first half of our program with your phone calls. And that makes me so very glad. So I'm encouraging you, keep him busy in the second half too. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. It's toll-free for you if you're in North America. But if you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you too, and it is country code 1-205-271-2985. So don't be shy. Pick up the phone. Give it a try. We'll get you on the air, and we'll have a holy conversation together. If it's the first time you're calling, well, I certainly want to know, because I love to ring my little first-time caller bell for you. And we'll ring it, too, if you're a first-time submitter. You can leave your comments for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Just use the chat feature there. And we'll get it retrieved. Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving. Vanessa Sanchez, she is in that studio punching buttons and moving levers and making it all happen so that we can be together today. So thank you, Vanessa. Well, we've got Ruth with us. Ruth is an Easton, PA, and she wants to talk with us. She's listening via YouTube. Hey, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
Dandy, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well and looking forward to the retreat and the benediction.
I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, me too. I have something very important to say. If people are considering and think God is calling them to the retreat or even anything else, that is very important for them to discern to do. Because I am 5 weeks, by the grace of God, abstinent from high sugar foods in my Catholic recovery food addiction journey. So I praise God for that. But I had a friend, and I won't say her name, but she might be listening, who told me she had a dream about me right before I started Catholics in Recovery. And in the dream, everybody else is at Mass. Jesus is being present on the Eucharist, and I'm turned around from him eating food. This is right before I discern going to Catholics in Recovery.
Wow.
So are we... Yeah, it really struck me. So, like, are we doing God's will? Are we following where he's leading us? So I want to encourage people, if you're on the fence and you think the Holy Spirit is leading you to this Women of Grace retreat or anything else important in your life, and there is no harm in doing it, just do it.
Yeah.
Just take the steps and see where God leads you.
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely beautiful when we yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you know. And I got to tell you something. It's not always convenient in our estimation when the Holy Spirit prompts us to something. You know, we always have things to do, right? But we want to choose the better portion, right? Because choosing the better portion is what makes all of the difference. And you're talking about Catholic and recovery. And of course, I've had Scott Wieman on the television program in the past. I've had him on our radio show here as well. And what a marvelous outreach he has. This is a beautiful Catholic approach to the 12-step program. And, you know, oftentimes when we think about addiction, we think about substance abuse only. But there's other kinds of addictions that exist, as you well know, Ruth. And here you are, you're talking about, you know, an addiction to food, overeating. There's pornography addiction. There's addiction to shopping. There's addiction to smoking. You know, we can get caught up in a lifestyle that can spiral out of control very quickly. And God wants to step into that moment and begin a process of restoration, renewal, and healing. And again, we were talking earlier about secondary instruments. Programs like this are secondary instruments. Those that found these programs are secondary instruments of the Lord. So yeah, take advantage of every opportunity. And in reference to the retreat, you know, all we can do, and all, you know, and when I say we, I'm including you in this, Ruth, you know, all we can do is share with other people the benefit of our own personal experience. And we know through the history of the Women of Grace retreats what God does. We know that there is tremendous grace that flows in the midst of these. We know how lives have been changed and souls have been saved and hearts have been healed. We've watched it. We've seen it through the years. And sometimes I don't need any of that. Well, you know what? Sometimes if you say, I don't need any of that, you're exactly the person that really needs it. You just don't know how badly. So we want to encourage you to come. This is hope for the journey, folks. You know, hope for the journey. We all need hope. We're all going to face certain issues in our lives, and we don't want to wait until the moment to try to figure it out. We want to be at the ready, you know, with a firm foundation in relationship with God and knowledge of the way in which God leads us and guides us. And I can tell you, we're planning a beautiful, beautiful event here from the Benedicta all the way through until Sunday at noon. And you can come to the Benedicta alone. You can come to the retreat alone. And for the young girls, oh my goodness, Ruth, isn't it true that our young girls need this guidance and direction? They need to hear how beautiful they are in the eyes of God. They need to hear how unrepeatable they are, that they have value, they have worth, just as they are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely, Janet. And if anybody's there Sunday for breakfast, I'm giving my mission partner testimony. It's only 5 minutes, but I just want to share so much all the good that's come to my life through this ministry.
Yeah.
And what a blessing and how God brought me to Women of Grace.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you, it's a beautiful reality. And, you know, your heart is so full and you share so beautifully, Ruth. So I'm eager to hear your testimony. I'm just sitting here scratching my head saying, can Ruth do that in 5 minutes? Can she do it in 5 minutes? I don't know anybody that can actually do it in 5 minutes. But if there is a way, the Lord's going to work it out through you. I am confident of that. Well, we will see you sooner than later, my dear.
second.
All right. God bless you, Ruth. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Jeanette.
Thank you, darling. And friends, you know, we're looking forward to seeing you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace today. And I am eager to hear from you today. We're talking, you know, about the highlight of your weekend. What was the highlight of your weekend today? Teresa's out there on YouTube, and I want to get to Teresa. She says, good morning from Texas. I ask for your prayers for the health of my nephew, Christian, because he has overweight and one of his legs looks much bigger and it hurts. May God heal him. Well, Teresa, yes. And of course, you know, he's overweight. And we just had Ruth on and she was talking about Catholic in recovery. And this might be something that you might gently want to present to your nephew. Because we know that the complications of health from being overweight are tremendous. So we don't want to complicate our lives, nor do we want to be poor stewards of our health. We do have a responsibility to be healthy. We do have a responsibility to do what we can to promote our well-being. We are stewards of the life that we have, stewards of the body that God's given to us, and we want to be good stewards. You know, I'm hoping that your nephew Christian is getting his leg checked, because sometimes when a leg begins to swell, there are things like, you know, that are causing it to swell that need immediate attention. I'm thinking of phlebitis, for example, a blood clot in the leg that can travel. So, you know, yes, we will certainly pray, but we also have an obligation to seek the ordinary means of healing as well as the extraordinary. So we pray, but we use what God has gifted us with in terms of medical science. So make sure that your nephew gets to the doctor. But we do come before you in this moment, Lord, and we lift up to you Teresa's nephew, Christian. We ask, Father, that in your mercy and in your kindness, healing would prevail. Father, we acknowledge the fact that you work through doctors and that you work through medicine and you work through scientific research. And we accept all of that, Lord. So I'm asking that you would lead and you would guide Christian to exactly the right treatment facility, doctor that he needs to have so that he can get an accurate diagnosis and healing can begin in the natural means. But in the meantime, Lord, we also prevail upon you because we know that you are God of all things. And no matter what it is that is going on in Christian's body, you are God of it. And there is nothing that is greater than you. You are omnipotent. You are all powerful. And so, if it suits your divine and holy purposes to heal Christian instantaneously, to take care of this problem right now, then I ask, Father God, that you do so. And I ask, Father God, that you would restore him to the fullness of health, whether it comes instantaneously by a miraculous healing or whether it comes by way of the doctors. And Teresa, even as I'm praying here, I'm getting a sense of something. And I'm getting a sense of the fact that the Lord wants for Christian to get to a doctor. I'm getting a sense that, you know, and if he has been if he is in the midst of being treated, you know, we're praying for the efficacy of that treatment to take place. But I think that there's a bigger issue here, not necessarily just about his health, but there is an issue that's related to why he is in the situation that he's in, that the Lord wants uncovered. And so I guess basically the sense that I have, you know, goes to this reality, that sometimes God permits situations and circumstances to happen so that he can work a good out of it that is greater than could have occurred had it not happened, or even if it was instantaneously resolved. And that's something that we've got to always be open to, the workings of God in ways that defy our understanding. But in a sense, you know, sometimes if things are immediately resolved, nothing really changes. And the issue comes back because we have not taken care of what is at the heart of the matter. And so, Father, I would just ask for that wisdom and that discernment for Christian, and I would pray for docility of spirit, Lord. I'm praying for docility of spirit for this man. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession. of our Blessed Lady as always. Amen. Teresa, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to pray for Christian today. We appreciate it so very, very much. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. We have Lou with us. Lou is in New Jersey, listening via Sirius XM, station 130. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Just dandy. Thank you for asking.
And you have an excellent program. I love listening to it.
Oh, may God be praised for that. Thank you, Lou.
I had a question. I have my wife's younger sister has paranoia, been diagnosed for years, and she has made poor decisions along the way. And we've offered to help her financially, figure out her finances so she can have a better life, and programs that she can take advantage of because she's a Section 8, but she refuses to share any information or even seek any additional help. And now she's also being diagnosed with cancer. So she calls 6-7 times a day, always complaining and asking for money. And I told my wife, we can't do that. She has to get use the resources she has. We can help her that way. And after that, if she still needs some help, then we can help her. And she can just not always to look for a handout. But I have all this guilt that I feel like I'm not doing the right thing, Christian-wise.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this for a minute, Lou. You know, when we have individuals that have difficulties mentally, it puts us in a very difficult position because we know that they're not capable of making cogent decisions, that the issue that they're facing mentally is going to affect their decision-making capacity. And with regard to paranoia, you know, I don't know if she's got a schizophrenic tendency with that or not, but with regard to paranoia, as you well know, because you've lived with this, she's afraid of everything. So she might even question, you know, the advice and counsel that you give her, or she might not really trust you to be of assistance in her finances. And so all she wants for you to do is to enable the situation and the circumstance that she's in. And that's not helpful. Now, oftentimes we are in a dilemma because we want to be charitable. We want to do the best that we possibly can. We want to be Jesus to the person that's in distress. But even Jesus, you know, when we look at the healings that were done in sacred scripture by our Lord, you know, he's always healing them of the internal malady. And he's asking them, you know, do you believe? Do you trust? And he says, go and sin no more. He's looking for a change of heart. He's looking for a conversion of heart. And because the you know, how do I want to say this? A healing can be given. This is what I was alluding to with regard to Teresa's nephew. A healing can be given, but the efficacy of that healing, its capacity to change us completely is dependent upon our heart. It's dependent upon our intention. It's dependent upon our receptivity to the working of grace in our lives. And so, you know, with regard to your sister-in-law, she's got this issue. So, you know, is it charitable to continue to enable her poor decision-making? Is it charitable to continue to simply meet her request without any kind of effort on her part to resolve the situation? So obviously we know that with paranoia, you know, there she needs to be under psychiatric care. There's probably medication that she needs to take. She probably needs to have some supervising, but that is not something that you can affect without her consent. Except that, you know, if she's certifiably paranoid and this has been diagnosed, she may not have the capacity, and in which case that opens up something more as to whether or not there's some kind of a legal thing that you can do. But we cannot continue to enable a behavior that is destructive, and this is destructive. Her behavior is destructive towards herself. And so, you know, I think that it would be important for you to hold the line, and to help her, but also to put it in such a way that there has to be some kind of acknowledgement of moving forward in a given way that can be concretely seen. In other words, you know, yes, I can help you, but you have to help yourself. And I will help you when I see you helping yourself. And this is how you can help yourself. This is how you should help yourself. And it might even be useful and helpful for you to talk to a mental health counselor to navigate how to approach her in this way. But, you know, in terms of feeling guilty, there is this, what do I want to say? There is a tendency to feel guilty when we see someone in distress and you know, we're withholding what we consider to be, you know, possible help. But you have a history here, and the evil one will play on that. So what you need to ask yourself, Lou, is this emotion that I'm feeling, because that's what, you know, that this is rising up in you as an emotion. Is this emotion I'm feeling, is this emotion rational? You know, where is this coming from? Why am I feeling guilty? Certainly you don't want to see her come to harm, and you don't want to see her on the street. I don't know how dire the situation is, but if it's that bad, then authorities have to be called. This is my opinion. I'm not a mental health counselor, so I'm going on record saying that. Okay.
Yeah. It's got to the point where my wife feels guilty going on vacation or out to dinner and stuff like that. She says my sister's alone and I'm having a good time. And I said, we made our life, but we have to enjoy our life. God wants us to enjoy what we put together, both in ministry and in our private life.
Well, and let me tell you, this is a very true statement. What happens is a codependency pops up, and that is what your wife might be slipping into, just simply by the fact that, you know, she's feeling guilty about all of this and doesn't want to do any of these things. And that's a dysfunction. And, you know, I remember years ago, a mental health counselor telling me, actually it was Father Ed, and he and I worked in ministry together for 20 years. I love Father Ed. And, you know, and we had a situation and he said, you know, here's the thing, Jeanette, he says, you know, a person with a dysfunction will cause everyone to have a dysfunction. If you have a dysfunctional person in the home, pretty soon the whole home becomes dysfunctional. And that is not a good direction to go in. So, you know, this is something that I think that, you know, again, I think that this would be a very healthy thing for you to get some professional advice on, so that you can help your wife not to slip into that, because you are not this, and you know this, Lou. Rationally, we know this, but emotionally, sometimes we don't act like we do. We cannot save anybody. We are not the savior. You know, we cannot save people. And sometimes, to the extent that we allow ourselves to slip into their dysfunction because of our own tendency to be involved, then to that extent, we don't help them and we don't help anybody else. So thank you for your call. I'll tell you what I will do, Lou. I will pray for this. I will really pray for you, because this is difficult. This is really a trial. So I'll be your sister in Christ in that way. I'm putting you right into my rosary right now. You hear that, Lord? I'm putting him right into my rosary right now. And so you'll be there with me in my rosary. So keep in touch with us and let us know, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and God bless you. Thank you. We're going to get to Rachel really fast here. She is in Virginia, listening to us via the EWTN app. Hi, Rachel. How are you? Rachel?
Yes, Sam.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Jeanette. I thought we were still talking about the good book. I'll be succinct and just tell you exactly what I feel and what I believe the Holy Spirit is moving in my heart. I'm getting a little choked up about it.
Okay.
But I really believe that a prayer of a woman of grace unites to the whole mission of Women of Grace, and it becomes this ripple upon ripple that really can move and shift culture. Because I had an experience where I'm trying to start a foundational study at my parish, and the word on the street is the lady that's in charge of the women's group kind of leaves people with hurt feelings in the way that she speaks and talks and interacts with others. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be gentle so she'll get on board with the idea of a foundational study.
Well, Rachel, you know what, baby girl? This is very, very important. Very, very important. And we're right at the end of the show. Please call back tomorrow so we can talk about this, okay? Because I do want to talk about it. God bless all of you. Bye-bye now.